Chapter 34, The Rise of Julius Caesar. Caesar is kidnapped. Do you remember the stories we already read about Rome? Rome grew from a small village to a rich, powerful city. Roman builders made roads so people could travel faster, aqueducts to bring water into the city, and apartments so many people could live within the city's walls. Rome also had a strong army. They defeated the Carthaginian general, Hannibal, and even sailed across the Mediterranean Sea to attack Hannibal's home city of Carthage. The great city of Rome became the richest, strongest city in the world. People from far away knew about Rome. They admired its beautiful buildings and splendid roads. They came from all over to trade in Rome, to watch the gladiator fights, and to admire Roman art. The Romans were the most powerful and prosperous people anywhere. One day, a baby boy was born to a rich family in Rome. His parents named him Julius Caesar. The Caesars were important people. They claimed to be descended from Romulus, the founder of the city of Rome. Julius's father was a rich nobleman who helped to make the laws of Rome, and Julius's uncle was a consul, one of the two rulers of Rome. "My little boy will accomplish great things," Julius's father declared. "He will become one of the most famous men in Rome." As soon as Julius was old enough, his father sent him to school to learn reading, writing, mathematics, and rhetoric, the art of speaking in public. Julius Caesar became very good at speaking in public. He grew up to be tall and strong, with keen black eyes and a deep, powerful voice. Whenever he made a speech, crowds gathered to listen to him. Soon Julius decided that he wanted to help govern Rome. He threw big parties for the people he needed to vote for him. He did favors for them. He became more and more popular. But Julius decided that he needed even more lessons in rhetoric so that he could convince even more Romans to vote for him. And the most famous rhetoric teacher of all lived in an island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. So Julius Caesar hired a ship to take him out to the island.
"It'll cost you extra," the captain of the ship told him. "There are pirates all over the Mediterranean. Their ships are faster than anyone else's. They steal cargo and kidnap important people. No one can control them. Are you sure you want to go?"
"I'm not afraid of pirates," Julius answered. He paid the captain of the ship and got on board. But no sooner was the ship out of sight of land than another ship came into view behind it, a sleek, fast ship.
"Pirates!"
the captain shouted. He tried to sail faster, but the pirate ship gained on him. All the sailors ran up to the deck to fight, but the pirates boarded the ship and took it over. They stole the cargo, and then they saw Julius Caesar standing in the middle of the captured sailors. They could tell by his clothing that he was a rich, important man.
"We'll keep you for ransom," the pirate captain said. "Who are your relatives? We'll tell them that we'll send you back as soon as they pay us $100,000.
Julius Caesar burst out laughing.
"Is that all?" he said. "I'm worth at least $250,000. "You think you're so important?" the pirate said. "Very well. We'll keep you and see how much money we can make from you."
"I'm warning you," Caesar said. "As soon as I'm free, I'll return and execute all of you." The pirates laughed. They didn't take Caesar's threats seriously. They took him back to their ship and kept him for more than a month. But Caesar treated them as though they were the prisoners.
"Savages," he would call out, "be quiet. I'm napping. And be sure that the food I'm served for supper is better than what I had for lunch."
The pirates thought Caesar was funny. Finally, the government of Rome sent them Caesar's ransom. They took the money and told Caesar goodbye.
"Go back to Rome, little boy,"
they mocked him.
"Go back to where it's safe. The sea belongs to us."
But as soon as Caesar got back to Rome, he convinced the Roman navy to lend him 3 warships and several troops of soldiers. He sailed back out into the Mediterranean. Sure enough, as soon as the warships lost sight of land, the pirates appeared, sailing up fast behind them. This time, Caesar was ready. He told his soldiers, "Get ready to fight." He circled his warships around and met the pirates head on. The soldiers and pirates fought hand to hand, climbing from one ship to another, until the pirates were defeated. "Now, who does the sea belong to?" Caesar said to the pirate captain. He took the pirates back to Rome and had them all executed. After this, everyone in Rome knew who Caesar was. They knew that he was a strong leader and a fierce fighter. Julius Caesar's name was on everyone's lips. The people of Rome were ready to vote for Caesar. The Councils of Rome. Once he was back in Rome, Julius Caesar decided that he wanted to be a consul. Do you remember who the consuls were? Rome got rid of its kings because the kings were tyrants who did whatever they wanted. Instead, they had two rulers called consuls. Each consul was supposed to keep the other one from getting too much power. But there was a problem. Rome already had two consuls. There was no room for Caesar. Instead, Caesar was given the job of governing the Romans who lived all the way over in Spain. Many Romans had settled here, and they needed a Roman leader to run their colony. Governing Spain was not Caesar's idea of an important job, but he knew that he could not become consul in Rome yet. So in 69 BCE, he gathered together his men and his possessions and set off for Spain. He traveled up through Italy, over the Alps. On the way through the Alps, Caesar and his friends came to a tiny, shabby village high up in the mountains. The streets were made of mud. The people were dressed in rags. Goats ran around between the houses, and the children played barefoot in the dirt. "What a disgusting place to live," one of Caesar's friends exclaimed. "Can you imagine spending your life here?" Caesar turned around to him. "I would rather be the most important man here," he snapped, "than second in command in Rome." They traveled on to Spain. In Spain, Caesar worked hard and became popular. He drove away the mountain bandits that kept attacking the Roman cities in Spain. But all the time, he longed to go back to Rome and become powerful there in his hometown. One day, he was sitting in his library reading about the life of Alexander the Great. His friends were there with him, talking about life in Spain and when they might be able to return to Rome. Slowly, they noticed that Caesar had stopped reading. He sat with his book on his knee, staring out the window. On the page in front of him was a picture of Alexander the Great, riding his great war horse, Bucephalus, with hundreds of cheering soldiers following him into battle. Suddenly, Caesar burst into tears. His friends had never seen him weep before. "Caesar! Caesar! What is wrong?" they asked.
"Don't you think I have reason to be sad?" Caesar asked them. "By the time he was my age, Alexander the Great was already the king of 5 or 6 different countries, and I haven't done anything remarkable yet. I should weep and be sad. When will I have the chance to become famous?"
Finally, Caesar was allowed to return to Rome. He convinced the two consuls who ruled Rome that he should become consul as well. Now 3 powerful men ruled Rome, and Caesar was one of them. The 3 rulers were called the Triumvirate. Tri means 3. How many wheels does a tricycle have? 3. How many children are there when triplets are born? 3. Triumvirate means 3 leaders. But Caesar became more and more popular with the people of Rome. They knew that he was a good general and a strong fighter, and they thought that Caesar could keep them safe. Before long, no one paid much attention to the other 2 consuls. Caesar was the only one who mattered. Caesar and the Senate. Julius Caesar was popular with the people of Rome, but he wasn't popular with the Senate. The Senate was a group of rich, powerful men who had most of the power in Rome. The Senate helped to take care of Rome. The consuls were supposed to listen to what the Senate said, But Caesar didn't pay very much attention to the Senate. He did what he pleased. The Senate was unhappy about this. They were suspicious of Caesar.
What if he wants to become king? They asked each other. What will happen to Rome?
What will happen to us?
One man should not rule Rome. We should govern Rome together, so that no single man has all the power in Rome.
If only Caesar were like Cincinnatus.
Who was Cincinnatus? He was a legendary Roman who represented the ideal ruler of Rome. Here is the story of Cincinnatus. Once upon a time, Cincinnatus was a consul of Rome, but he lost his wealth, retired from his high position, and became a farmer instead. He spent his days planting wheat and tending grapes, but he was so wise and well-loved that Romans came to him from all over to ask his advice. Now, Rome was the strongest city in the world, but one day Rome heard disturbing news. A tribe of barbarians was headed towards Rome, burning and plundering everything in their path. They had sworn to conquer Rome and kill its people. The Romans weren't afraid, yet. After all, the Roman army was the most powerful in the world, so they sent out their most skillful soldiers to stop the barbarians. The soldiers rode out of Rome, splendid in shining armor and scarlet cloaks. The women and children cheered and waved. "Come back in glory and triumph," they called out. "Come back in victory." They waited day after day after day. Finally, they saw dust in the distance. Horsemen were approaching the city. But what had happened to the Roman army? Only 5 dirty, blood-stained soldiers were returning. They galloped through the gates into the center of the city and told their story, gasping with pain and weariness.
"The barbarians are too strong for us," they said. "They attacked us at a narrow mountain pass. They came at us from behind and from ahead, and meanwhile they threw rocks at us from the hills above us. Send help to our army at once, or Rome will fall."
The Senate was terrified.
"All our strongest soldiers have already gone," the senators said to each other. "We only have boys left. Who can lead them into battle?"
Suddenly, one senator said,
"Cincinnatus! Let us send for Cincinnatus. He is our only hope."
Cincinnatus was out working in his fields when the senators arrived at his house. He washed the dirt off his hands and listened to their pleas.
"If you will lead the reinforcements into battle," they promised him, "we will make you the king of Rome."
So Cincinnatus returned to the city with them and became the leader of the reinforcements. He armed the boys and taught them how to fight, and then led them out towards the mountains to rescue the Roman army. Cincinnatus was so wise and crafty that this troop of boys beat off the barbarians, drove them back to the mountains, and brought the rest of the Roman army home. They marched back into Rome with trumpets blaring and people cheering.
"Be our king, Cincinnatus," the people of Rome begged. "We will give you all power. You can do whatever you want."
But Cincinnatus took off his armor and gave his banner back to the Senate. "No," he said, "Rome does not need a king. I give all my power back to the senators. They should make your laws." And he went back to his fields and his grapes, leaving the Senate in charge of Rome. Cincinnatus was the ideal Roman. He served his city when he was needed, but then he gave his power back to the Senate. But Caesar wouldn't behave like Cincinnatus. He kept on gathering power. He became more and more popular.
"One day," the senators said to each other, "Caesar will try to become king of Rome. Then what will we do?"
Note to parent: Caesar was born in 100 BCE.